and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I started having an allergy attack. I'm not kidding, 30 seconds before I started recording this. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I, like, started sneezing and couldn't stop. I don't know where the dust is coming from, but if I sound ill, I promise you this is temporary and it just began. It just began out of nowhere, right when I had to record. I'm so sorry. You have to bear with me. I have a lot of pent-up energy right now because I saw two movies this weekend, which I never see. I never see one movie, let alone two movies, but it was such a blissful lineup that I had to say yes. On Saturday night, I drove all the way to Santa Monica. If you know anything about LA, you know, like, Santa Monica's a hike. I drove to Santa Monica because friend of the podcast, Drew Taylor, and his podcast, Light the Fuse, was hosting this one-night screening of Mission Impossible Ghost Freaking Protocol. I put on my little Ghost Protocol hat. I headed down to the theater. I ate my weight in popcorn, which is my favorite thing to do, but it was, like, too much fake butter, and I feel like it maybe, like, damaged an organ from how much fake butter I had, because I can still taste it in my mouth, and it's been two days. Oh, no. I saw Ghost Protocol on the big screen. Brad Bird was there to do a panel beforehand with Michael Giacchino. Michael Giacchino, composer of the Incredibles theme song and so many other things. I think, like, the Space Mountain music too. Like, Michael Giacchino, a hero. It was so much fun. And then the next morning I woke up and I went to this place, Vidiot's, which is a very cool local theater in LA. And I got to see The Great Muppet Caper, which I have not seen in a long time. And seeing it on a big screen, I have to tell you, it hit. Everybody was laughing. Like, there's this recurring joke that that Kermit the Frog and Fozzie Bear are twins. Like, it like keeps coming back. It's a callback throughout the entire movie. And everyone was laughing. The entire theater was laughing at the Muppets. And it made me so joyful and so happy, but also so frustrated that the Muppets are just sitting there. And we almost got the Muppet show. And it clearly seems like it's not going to happen. It didn't get renewed yet. It didn't get discussed at D23. Who knows? But I'm praying that Colosculum Miss Piggy movie happens, because I got to see multiple generations laughing their tushes off at Miss Piggy in a movie theater today, and it felt like a portal to the future, because I hope we can all do that one day again soon. It was so good, and two movies back to back. Like, again, I went to a workout class and I was like running up a Stairmaster because I had so much energy and I still have some. So I'm hopefully going to channel that into this episode because it's very fun. My friend Zach is on the podcast. We are talking about Europa Park, which is going to blow your freaking mind. Google it. And there you go. It's wild. We'll get more into that after the break, but it's just, I'm so excited to have him on. I'm so excited to, like, bring another fun colleague into the Very Amusing fray, and stick around because Europa Park is going to, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. It's good. I have to go sneeze. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Bye. It's me again. Typically, this is the point in the show where Becky Mankin from MEI Mouse Fan Travel, our favorite travel agency who can book all of your trips seamlessly for no cost, and I typically talk about all the discounts that are available for the types of vacations you're probably going to want to take if you listen to Very Amusing. Thank you to everyone who called in, because ends up the volume level on our recent conversation was all kaflooey. It was all messed up. And guess whose fault that was? That's right, mine. Entirely my fault. To the point where, like, I don't even really know how to fix the error that I made. And Becky and I are having a new conversation about all of the upcoming deals in about a week. So until then, I'm just going to reiterate all the information that we had in that conversation you couldn't hear very well to make sure that you do not miss a single detail about these discounts. As you know, this is Becky's territory. I'm better at just yapping too close to the sun. So I'm going to do my best to channel the professionalism and the genius that is Becky Mankin to let you know about these discounts. Again, we will be back with Becky in a little bit, but I figure this is the simplest way to just make sure that you can actually hear about everything. Now, for many months, we've talked about discounts at Royal Caribbean, Aulani, Disneyland, Disney World, but we have not really talked about Universal Orlando, and they are finally tapping in. For travel from September 8th to December 25th of this year, you can get 30% off a hotel or take part in their bundle and save promotion for savings up to $300. We will go over details about that in a second. If you're already thinking about vacations for next year, It also, something similar, starts again on January 3rd and goes all the way till March 15th. That is my favorite time to be in Orlando because it can be sweater weather. It can be a little too cold, but ooh, wearing a jacket in Orlando is heaven. Now, this is a little bit tricky of a deal because it really depends on what you are booking. So you can save 30% off at a Universal Orlando Resort Hotel on a 5-night or longer stay between those date ranges I mentioned. There are a lot of ticket bonuses, like for arrivals 10/20 to 12/16. You get a 3-day park-to-park ticket and get 2 days free. That's wild. But then from now until basically the end of the year, December 31st, you save different amounts of money depending on how many nights you stay. You can save $50 when you stay 4 nights, or you can save $300 when you stay 7 or more nights. Then at the start of the year through April 30th, that's even longer than when Becky and I last spoke, you can save similarly. If you stay 4 nights, you save $25. If you stay 7 or more nights, you can save $200. So make sure to reach out to MEI Mousefan Travel at mousefantravel.com/amusing, and they will hook you up and they will let you know kind of what that pricing is like. Now, Disney World is, sorry if you heard my phone, I got an email. Ooh, not to brag, I got an email. Disney World is still running up to 20% off select rooms. This is for Sunday to Thursday, October 4th to November 19th. And then again, which she said includes weekends, fun, November 22nd to December 24th. Enjoy holiday decorations. Ooh, ooh, at Disney World? Don't tempt me with a good time. And if you're a Disney Plus member, don't forget about this whole Disney Plus perks situation. You can save up to 25% on rooms and also get a free Park Hopper benefit added to your ticket when you purchase a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. And if you, like me, have purchased any of your loved ones' tickets lately, you know how much money that is. You know that's a whole lot of money. That is for select stays, September 25th through December 24th. There are a couple of blackouts in there right now, but Becky called it one of the best savings that you can come across for Walt Disney World right now, and I completely agree. Now, over at Disneyland, there is 15% off rooms that is ending truly a few days from when you hear this. So if you're hearing this at the start of the month, run. But otherwise, they did finally just open bookings for 2027 for Disneyland. So if you've been waiting to book, reach out to MEI Mousefan Travel and they will help you take care of your vacation needs. Stick around because we have a lot more discounts on the other side of the episode, and I'll see you there. Welcome back. This week, we are talking to my dear friend and colleague, Zach Lax, a travel writer and editor based in New York. Zach's written for everyone, but truly is a jack of all trades because Zach knows everything about everything. He's driving around the country, going on roller coasters I've never heard of. He's traveling internationally from country to country, going to all these theme parks that I've never experienced and that so many of us don't even know details about, which is why we thought it would be so fun to talk about Europa Park through the lens of somewhere we know very well, Disney World, and a little bit of Disneyland. Now, this is not the first time we've discussed Europa Park on Very Amusing. Do not forget, we did an entire episode on Etrenaline, that ride-like restaurant, or restaurant experience within a ride, depending on which way you look at it. And I have a link to that in the show notes. That is like, truly, that was one of the hardest bookings I've ever pulled off. I remember we recorded it at some wacky time, maybe like 7 a.m. just to get it done. But it was worth it because Europa Park is so cool and they have so much cool stuff. Maybe you know it as that place that like randomly popped up on Pinterest one day with that had a geodesic dome that looked like Spaceship Earth. And you were like, what the heck? They just fully ripped off Epcot. That's Europa Park. Maybe you saw a weird TikTok one day about a Phantom of the Opera coaster. That is also Europa Park, but I did not realize until speaking with Zach the sheer scale and the reach of this place, the size of it, the amount of attractions. And Zach really helped to kind of like place make Europa Park, to really explain to us where this sits in the region, how we would even entertain the idea of getting there, what it feels like to be there, what the scale of this place is like, and how it compares to a place we are very familiar with. I am blessed and honored to bring you this interview today. I'm so grateful Zach came on the podcast. We have so much fun when we are working together. We're always like filming other stuff. We should always just be filming each other. We like had dinner together. We were seated together on a cruise recently. It was wonderful. I adore him and I adore his husband. That's a side note. Just need you to know his husband also rocks, but thrilled to have Zach on. I hope you enjoy. And also, if you don't want to go to Europa Park by the end of this on a tour led by Zach, I don't know what to tell you because I also want to be there. Enjoy this wonderful, wonderful interview with my bud, Zach. Zach, welcome to Very Amusing.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
I'm so excited to have you on the show because, like, I always just think of you as my friend and colleague, and I forget that you're low-key the go-to expert for theme parks abroad. Like, what?
Yeah. It's kind of wild. It's been a really fun, kind of wild, exciting journey getting here. But I've done it because I love it. And I've done it because I love theme parks in the U.S. I love theme parks in Europe. And it's been really fun to get to explore them more. I've taken to most of the time we're going on these road trips. So my husband, Jesse, and our friend Mikado and I set off on these kind of vast road trips where we go to multiple countries, go to multiple theme parks. And the tally right now is 16 European theme parks that we've been to, with a good amount more that we still have to get to.
Well, I am delighted to have you here today because we are discussing Europa Park, but not just Europa Park. We are trying to see if Europa Park is better than Disney World. And we have a bunch of categories we're going to go through. But I would say, because I don't know where this is going to tally out, from the jump, do you think, gut instinct, do you think Europa Park is better than Disney World?
Oof. Honestly, I really need this podcast to help me work through it because I can't say it off the gut. I love them both. I've had mind-alteringly beautiful, immersive entertainment and themed experiences at both. You know, it's kind of hard to compare because they are so different. I would say Disney builds worlds around stories. So you're thinking about like Frozen or an experience built around Little Mermaid. Whereas, Europa Park is a lot more about what would Greece, Iceland, France, Portugal feel like if they had their own theme park. So you're getting, it's kind of like the world showcase on a much grander, larger scale. And each, there's 18 of these worlds plus 3 fantasy worlds in Europa Park. So it's kind of like you're getting the world showcase on a much larger level in one gate. Whereas, World is these 4 gates and you have, it's a week long destination, if not longer. Europa Park, you can almost do, I don't think you can do it in a day. You can do it in probably 2 or 3 days, but they're so different. They're both like, world-class theme parks, but they're so different.
I didn't realize the scale of this. So if you could give us like a quick park overview, because my mind's kind of blown by the fact that I didn't realize that the country pavilions, I don't know if that's what they call that there, but that they would have such a big presence within Europa Park.
Yeah, each country, well, Croatia is the newest one. And in Croatia, you have this beautiful like Dalmatian coasts feel to it. It has these, white tiles, and that's where Voltron is. And Voltron is that Nikola Tesla inspired new ride, and it won the Golden Ticket Award for Best New Coaster in 2024. But that is just one of the 18 worlds. You have Austria, Croatia, England, France, 18. Germany.
I cannot get over 18!
I always say to friends and family, add an extra day at a theme park in Europe and you'll see how the locals enjoy themselves, what they do on their day off, how they like kick back and enjoy. And so many of these European theme parks, Europa Park does it the best, encapsulate that perfect day off experience. And I think they're getting a lot more global attraction and global attention for it.
Wow. Just real quick before we get into the nitty gritty of Europa Park and comparing it to Disney World, can you explain a little about the land sizing? Because when I automatically hear of regional lands like Greece, my brain is thinking of a World Showcase pavilion. So can you at all contextualize like the size of some of these lands and kind of the scale of the park as a whole?
Yeah, I would say surprisingly large and hard to navigate. There's not a clear spoken wheel element to the park where there's not like, there is an Epcot-like ball, which we'll talk about.
Will be talking about the Epcot ball.
Yes. And I mean, Epcot is so well laid out. Magic Kingdom is so well laid out. Like the parks of Disney World are very like, main streets and very easy passage, easy ways to navigate. This is a little bit more complex. And I would say the size and scope of it, it takes a while to get to each attraction. So like, there are like Voltron, for instance, from the main gate is kind of at the far end of the park. I think it's like a 15, 20 minute walk. And you're walking through each land. And in terms of each land, I would say that there's one to two main attractions per land. They're so, the sight lines are very much on par with Disney, where it's like, you don't really see the attraction unless they want you to. So there's a lot of that kind of ingenuity. The park dates back to 1975, and Mach is this amazing ride engineer, and they do dark rides and coasters, and they're really at the forefront of amusement park, theme park engineering and roller coasters. In the 70s, the Mach brothers were in the U.S. and were inspired by the U.S. theme parks, essentially Disney and other theme parks, to say, why don't we create our own theme park in Europe to showcase our rides? So Europa Park was built in Roos, Germany, as a means of a showcase of what we can do. So the park and like the fabric and texture of the park is the future. So you almost get this sense that you're seeing technology just like on display that you will see in other parks around the world in the next few years. Voltron is a great example.
Wow. So it's, this park is low key. I mean, two things we got to say. One, the fact that globally all these parks are in conversation with each other is bananas. Like things in Disneyland were pulled from overseas, and now overseas they have theme parks that are pulled from Disneyland.
Well, Disneyland, you know, Walt Disney went to Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen in the early 40s. And have you been to Tivoli Garden?
Oh, I have been on the fake Matterhorn, and it's crazy.
Yes. Yeah, it is so crazy. It's so fun.
It's crazy.
But that park is beautiful. It's almost more akin to a botanical garden with some rides in it. I think that's where Walt Disney got so much of the inspiration for how beautiful the parks are and can be. This idea of beautiful landscaping, this idea of, you know, hidden rides or rides that are enmeshed in the scenery and in the theming of it.
I love that Europa Park is also, I guess, just a showroom for the technology that this company has. That's so cool that it's all housed within this grand theme park, but it's homegrown.
Yeah, I think they've done such a great job of bringing their own take to these theme rides that aren't just, it's not just steel. It's not just wood. They create this sense of grandeur with theming, with light and sound, and these experiences are so special, and they're so elevated. And I think that's a touch point throughout all of Europe with all these themed rides and all these themed attractions, which kind of, after a European theme park road trip, you come back to the US and you say, like, come on, like, let's, like, I'm not gonna really give the most specific examples because some of them are just wild, and theme park explorers have really been fascinating to watch how they detail the way that a small European theme park can take a ride that we have in the US and theme it on a 20th of the budget. It's kind of mesmerizing.
Oh my gosh, I have such American privilege where I'm like, we have the best! And now I'm like, oh no, Europa Park might win this.
Yeah, but also like go to like the smallest parks in Belgium, or like go to the smallest parks in like, and like, Toverland does this so well. There's so many Plopsaland, Belgium does it so well. There are so many of these small parks. I know. These parks are operating at such a specific detailed level with craft artisan work that like connects in a way that, you know, I think it connects in a way that Disney Imagineers are able to connect a lot of the storytelling, but these are operating at like a 20th of the budget.
Okay, we're going to get into categories, but before we do, I'm just going to put an idea out there for you. You maybe need to be leading group tours overseas to go to these parks, because I'm pretty sure having someone like you there to walk people through and to plan out the destination, just saying, it's a business prospect for you.
Honestly, thank you.
I think you got to get this together. And if anybody wants to go, I know exactly where to send you, straight to Zach. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Now, we
thank
have a
you,
number of categories facing off Europa Park and Walt Disney World. So, from the jump, we touched on this a little, but the park grounds, the landscaping, the feel when you're not in an attraction, but just wandering around. Talk to me about the pros and cons of Europa Park versus Disney World.
I would say Disney World feels magical, whereas Europa Park is authentic and thrilling.
Whoa.
So there's an element of Disney that just, it just works. It just, everything is seamless and it's so easy to navigate. But you go to Europa Park for the thrills, and you also go for like the, for that feeling of an authentic moment. I think World Showcase does a really great job at Epcot of, you know, immersing you in that, you know, in that Japan moment or in that German moment. But I think that Europa Park has a way of expanding it even more. So walking around Disney feels, I would almost say in, like enchanted and magical, whereas Europa Park, you just feel like you're on this European vacation discovering. And I think a lot of people, I would almost say that most listeners here are pretty familiar with the Disney parks and how seamless they are and how they have all these moments of, you know, kind of, they've reduced so much friction with the user experience to make it pretty seamless. I think Europa Park is a little bit more of just like, we built these great rides, we built this great theming, have fun. You know, I don't know if the cast members have been aspiring all their lives to work there. They don't have the same, you know, Disney college program. It's not the same kind of culture around it, I guess you would say. And also, I think like you don't see people wearing Ed and Edda ears like you do Mickey and Minnie ears. So like the culture just feels a little different. But I'm also...
Should like, we just jump ahead to Ed and Edda? Because we got to be talking about these mice.
Oh, Ed and Edda. Good luck with that, all I have to say.
Okay, yeah. The mascot face-off. Because we have Mickey and Minnie Mouse, and they have some down-and-dirty rip-off mice, Ed and Edda. Talk to me about these little freaks.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a nod, but it's not only a nod, it's like a full head bow. it's like, yes, these are mice, and it's not Mickey and Minnie, it's Ed and Edda. And like they've been incorporated on a recent ride, the new Grand Prix ride. But I think Ed and Edda is such a head tilt slash full out bow to everything Disney does, because Disney is operating on its own level in terms of themed experiences, and you see Europa Park very much interested in tapping into that in its own way. That's not, has nothing to do with, you know, Disneyland Paris. It's very much that like, oh, we can do an Epcot ball. Oh, we can do Pirates of the Caribbean named Pirates of Batavia, which is literally a complete like lift of the creative energy of that, even with a finale where you on the boat and you go and you boat by a restaurant of people dining, so much like the boat ride in Mexico. And you're just like, oh, this is like, they have been to these parks and studied the Disney World parks to the point where they are like, oh, let's show them what we can do. And I think as someone who loves Disney and who loves theme parks, Any of the listeners who go to Europa Park will just be so delighted to see these kind of like European like facsimiles of culture. And of course, like the last time we were there, and I'm sure it's still there, like everyone's wearing a New York hat, like everyone. And like everyone is wearing and I grew up in Chicago. We both grew up in Chicago. Yeah, everyone's wearing Chicago Bulls merch. And like, you're just like, this is like sweet. And like, there's such a, and like Friends is still so big. Or big again. So everyone has a Friends shirt on. Like, you know, just like stuff like that where you're like, this is the epitome of like taking American culture and like Euro-fitting it in a really sweet way. That like feels so, genuinely nice and sweet.
Well, that sounds like a nice vibe, but hometown advantage, I got to say Mickey and Minnie are better than Edda,
if we're keeping score, no question. Yeah, okay. There's no question. I don't know. Yeah, no. Okay. Mickey and Minnie. Yeah.
Mickey and Minnie win. Okay. Now, there are, as we just discussed, some egregious, egregious copycats in this beautiful park. But the most shocking one, which many people probably only know this park for, is the Geodesic Dome, that they have a straight up ripoff of Spaceship Earth. Talk to us about what is going on there, because they don't have a slow dark ride with old objects covered in tarps there. It's a roller coaster.
Can I tell you though, it's probably one of my favorite roller coasters in the world. Whoa. And that's what makes it so like cool with me. And I think it is such a goop that this dome exists, and it is so much the Epcot ball. Okay, so here's what's going on. There are two coasters in this dome, and the first one is the Can-Can coaster, the Moulin Rouge coaster, which I think it debuted in 2018, and it is so cool. It is completely within the dome, and you go up this kind of like one-of-a-kind hill that's almost kind of like the Whizzer from Six Flags Great America.
Oh my God, hometown reference that I completely understand.
I knew you would. So you're going up this kind of like circular lift hill, and as you're going up, you're seeing this like this cylinder that keeps turning, or maybe you're turning around it. And as you're going up, suddenly it becomes the Eiffel Tower, and you're on top of the Eiffel Tower, and then you go down through the Moulin Rouge, and you like, it almost has the feeling of Laugh Track from Hershey Park, which, you know, it's these like brightly lit signs that you're like zooming around. It also is like Crush's Coaster in Disneyland Paris, where it's like this like kind of interactive and also almost kind of like Hot Toy Green Line. But then, so, and then at the end, you go underneath the Can-Can dancers dress. You see the Can-Can dancers above you, and you're like just zooming by. But I have to say, the best coaster in the world is the Phantom of the Opera coaster, which is on the same track.
Tell me about the Phantom of the Opera coaster inside Fake Spaceship Earth, please.
Hi, it is the Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera musical experience, the coaster, the ride, VR. Where do I begin? You put on your VR headset goggles, and you are in box five. At the Opera Paris, you are literally there, and you hear the orchestra warming up, and you hear them, and you hear that you are not supposed to be in box five as per Phantom's rules. Uh-huh. Then you go and you're transported down into the basement of the Opera House, and this is like the goopiest, craziest thing ever. You walk with the VR headset to the train. And they escort you, but you have the VR headset on and you enter into the train. But when you enter into the train, it looks like you're going in your own private gondola. And Jesse, my husband, and I, we wrote it twice. Both times, you see that there's another person beside you, but they're an avatar of like almost like a ghostly spirit. So you can see that you're like, and you can see other people around you, but they're all like these like spirits. They strap you in, they make sure you're in, which is in Europe, there's no seatbelts. Like it's just like a 1-2 in and you're out. Like it's a lot more relaxed. It's Europe. I mean, like, I don't know. But like, you know, most theme parks in America do like, you know, a seatbelt check and, yes, you know, a lap bar check. This is a little bit more relaxed. You go up the lift hill and you see a montage of the Phantom, like, as a boy growing into the Phantom, and you kind of hear the backstory. And then at the top of the lift hill, I get chills every time I think about this. You see him swinging on the chandelier. You're right there. And he says, like, you see Christine and Raul on stage singing, and he basically says like, go, and you ride the chandelier down to the stage. And you go through the stage and like kind of chaos ensues. And it, you know what it is? It's like those like drone video fly arounds, you know, like where they go through bowling alleys. But this time you're going through the Paris Opera House and like the music of Phantom of the Opera is blasting. It's just incredible. My tip is to go early because it sells out.
Extra for it?
Yeah, it's like €7 or something like that.
But worth
like,
it. Worth
it's
it.
It's totally worth it. And you pay extra and you have to get a reserved time. But it's not called the Phantom of the Opera coaster. And it's really hard to find. So like, it's called Eurostat Coastiality. So like, if you're at the park, like, this is kind of weird, but like, if you're at the park and you're like, I want the Phantom of the Opera coaster, like, you like can't find it. So like, it's one of those weird things where it's like, you just like, you have to know what it's called. It's called the Eurostat Coastiality. Very weird, but
okay,
cool.
I'm giving geodesic dome to Europa Park. They're
okay,
winning.
Yeah.
They are winning.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay, the other big Epcot debate. Also, I cannot stop thinking about Phantom of the Opera coaster. Oh my god, I need to get there.
Oh.
Yes.
No, I was just gonna say you will love it. I can't imagine.
The other big Epcot versus Europa Park debate is World Showcase. Comparing World Showcase pavilions to the country-themed lands, who do you think wins?
It's so hard because, you know, I think World Showcase, I just wish World Showcase had more rides.
I know.
I always want there to be a few more hidden rides in like the beautiful facades.
Y'all, I'm cackling because the prompt for this month's Quince ad, this is a Quince ad, is that I'm supposed to tell you about the piece in my closet that I find myself reaching for over and over again. And y'all know that the only things in my closet that I consider to be staples are from Quince. They are from Quince because that is what Quince does so well. They not just make incredible bike shorts, but they do that for every single item that they sell. The shorts that I wear everywhere, to theme parks, to workout classes with Sutton Foster, which I did today. I wear them daytime, I wear them nighttime, sometimes under a little tunic. They take me everywhere because Quince does it all. Quince makes elevated everyday essentials using premium materials like Mongolian cashmere, organic cotton, and washable silk. The designs are timeless, thoughtfully crafted, and made to be worn again and again. And again and again and again and again and again, because let me tell you, I was mid-workout class with, oh, I'm going to bring it up again, Sutton Foster. Oh, yeah. And I was just like, wow, my Quince shorts are really holding up in this workout class, and I've had them for so long. They're really just that good. But Quince has so much more than that. They have premium stretch denim, leather bags, footwear, beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry, and the type of things that just put the finishing touch on your outfit and make your whole look come together. I'm obsessed with Quince. Not a shocker if you listen to the podcast. The bike shorts are literally the one item I cannot live without. I think at this point I have 8 pairs of them and I rotate. And there was a time recently when I moved where I did not do my laundry and I ran out of Quince bike shorts. And I'll tell you, I was depressed. Their clothing is so good it'll make you depressed that you don't have it clean. And I can't recommend it enough. Quince prices everything 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories to cut out the middlemen. And it's not just bike shorts, baby. Quince brings that same quality approach to everything they make. Stuff like kitchen essentials. Ooh, I got a shop there. I have some stuff there I need for the kitchen. Thanks, Quince. Hotel quality bedding, bath, furniture. They make well-designed pieces for everyday living. So don't miss out. Find the fall pieces you'll reach for most. I live in California. Shorts are for fall. At Quince. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/amusing. If you do that, you'll get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and UK too, baby. That's quince.com/amusing. We're talking Nathan and Sons, makers of underbrush remineralizing gum. It's a chewing gum that helps take care of your teeth in between brushing. It's different from other gums. It's thicker, it's chewier, and it's way better than natural gums I've tried before. It'll freshen your breath with flavors like mint, cinnamon, and berry, and is made with natural tree saps. I'm new to this world of remineralizing gum, but I guess it's made with the same mineral your tooth enamel is made from, which is pretty cool. If you're someone who likes to chomp, chomp, chomp on something throughout the day, and as a popcorn freak, you know I can relate, Underbrush Remineralizing Gum will give you more of that oomph in every bite. Nathan and Sons makes it themselves from scratch in their own facility in Northern California. We love a local small business! And they are running a promotion for first-time users. Right now, you can get 30% off your first order when you subscribe. So if you are looking for something new, a satisfying natural chew that'll help freshen your breath and support enamel, visit nathanandsons.com today.
I think so much of World Showcase relies on like the well-placed theming and the facades. And I think I wish there was more.
Because, I mean, this dovetails right into it. From what I understand, the dining is as big of a destination for these lands as it is at the World Showcase.
Oh, yeah, totally. And it's all like, you know, yeah, exactly. The dining is wonderful at the parks. There's a lot of really nice sitting areas to enjoy. It's very relaxed. It's not as I think what's interesting about Disney World, and maybe this is just the last couple of years, is that there's become such a like a hype and a fervor around experiences at Disney World, whereas Europa Park is much more like relaxed and low key and just kind of is. And so you'll have this like great meal, this great experience right on like the river where the river rapids are. And like, you just kind of walk in and get a table. It's not always that easy. It is a popular park, but like, it just doesn't have that like overrun feeling that sometimes like if you want a good margarita at Epcot, sometimes you have to wait for, you know, a little bit of time. I think sometimes it's just nice to go to these theme parks where, you know, the quality is way up there and it just kind of has a little bit more of an ease to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And each country has its own themed dining. Right? Like,
yeah.
You, you
oh,
go
yeah.
to Greece and get Greek food and you...
Exactly. Yeah. The dining is excellent. And yeah, I would say, so, you know, World Showcase is World Showcase. I mean, it's like, it's so special. It is so, it's so distinct. It's so unique. It's so much fun, but I'm going to have to give it to Europa Park with the immersion and the real sense of place you get when you're in each of these worlds. You really do feel like you're in Greece or in Croatia or in Spain. So, yeah.
Whoa. I would have to. Okay, Europa Park coming out strong. Now, yeah. There is a monorail here as well. The Easy Express. How does it compare to our beloved Disney World monorail?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say the monorail is a little bit more of a scenic experience at Europa Park, as I'm sure some of the listeners by now have already kind of picked up. I love Walt Disney World, but I am a theme park lover. Like, I love Walt Disney World because they do theme parks some of the best. And I love Disney World. I was raised on theme parks. And so Walt Disney World is one of the best theme parks, but I love theme parks in general.
It sounds like their monorail is kind of like the friendship boats. So it's not as like iconic and revered as our monorail.
Europa Park is so much of everything. So they have a monorail, they have like a people mover, and then they have like a little miniature train. So like, I would say the monorail does connect the resorts. The monorail does offer some really nice like in-park experience sightseeing. But then there's also kind of like a people mover experience as well that I would recommend as well. But we're getting into a conversation where you need to spend more than one day. Because there's just so much to do. There's over 100 attractions. There's 14 roller coasters. And you know what's interesting about Europa Park? They don't have a closing time. They say 6 or later.
And
what?
They
determine. Yeah, I'm serious.
What?
They say 6 or later. And then you find out like midday what time they're closing based on, I think it's based on capacity and then also based on like weather conditions and stuff like that. But like they post it. They post it, I think, everywhere. Like every ride, they'll say tonight the park closes at, you know, 1800 or 1900. But like, there's little bit like factors there. But then also like, sorry, I'm just kind of like free talking.
But like, their hours are based on vibes.
Kind of, yeah. Their hours are based on like.
I feel like somewhere in Key West, Bob Chapek is having a heart attack over this.
Yes. Yes. Hi, Bob. How are you? No, but like, honestly, there's things like that. But like, also, there's not that much of a culture around the park either. Like, there's not like a 24-hour McDonald's. There's not like, you know, you don't like see folks gathering at like a local, like, you know, German pub after, like, it just doesn't have that same, you know, how there's so much texture and quality to like the before and after of a Walt Disney World day. Like, this is a little bit more, I guess you would say, just like casual and just like come and arrive and hang out and like go
home. So kind of like a regional park feel for what is a very, very big park.
Oh, totally. In general, like you put your maps GPS on and they kind of go.
Wow, I can't believe that Europa Park is like doable. It's doable.
Yeah, yeah, it's so doable. As a joke from Death Becomes Her, the musical, doable, huh? No, but it is doable. It's very, very easy to get to once you're there, and that's such like a baloney thing to say because it's 2.5 hours from like the International Frankfurt Airport. But like, I also would just say like, once you're there, you feel like you're kind of like in this really special, unique park. And again, like it, there is something to be said about going to a theme park where like the worlds have been built meticulously and like you're discovering it. And like, I'll say for me, like, I love that idea and like the act of going somewhere that a lot of my theme park friends haven't been to, or like a lot of my friends and family are like, whoa, what is that? And like sharing my favorite moments of that, like that to me is exciting and fun. Whereas like when I go to Six Flags Great Adventure, they're like, yeah, we know, like Nitro's great. We know that.
I want to do some breakdown of ride comparisons because it seems like this place is all about the rides. And there are some that are good contenders for each other. Now, the newest thrill ride, I believe their newest thrill ride is Voltron Nevera, which you mentioned a bit, but I'd love to hear about more. I'd love to know how that compares to our newest thrill ride, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah, Voltron is themed to Nikola Tesla and his experiments with like electricity. Tesla basically inspired and invented the form of electricity that we use now. It's in the new Croatia land. It won the Best New Roller Coaster for the Golden Ticket Awards in 2024. And Voltron, I call it everything everywhere all at once. There's four LSM launches that have such power to them. And it is the world's first 105-degree beyond vertical launch. The queue is part of the theming, and you get into this large, like, dark room, and you can feel and see all these, like, cool, kooky, like kind of inventions and, like, the electric vibe of it all. Then you get on the train, and you go into this kind of enclosed box. And you hear something in German, I think it's Tesla saying, like, you're my latest invention, something along that line. And the train rises up and shakes. And
what?
Kind of like the Hulk, in the sense that, like, you're just stationary, but you're kind of feeling this vibe and this jolt. And you're like, like, what is going to happen? And then you launch out into this 105 beyond vertical launch, which is basically like getting launched into a half loop. I've never experienced anything like that. It's wild. And then the ride is these remarkable, forceful airtime moments and just a crazy, it's kind of every inversion and every kind of like assault on the senses you can think of. And then they turn you around and do it again. And there's like tracks of the, it kind of has this kind of like, I would almost call it Christopher Nolan-like sense of cinematic quality to it, because you feel like you're doing everything in reverse, and then you see another train interacting with you while you're doing the same version of that track. It's mind-bogglingly cool. I did it 3 times in a row and like could probably have done fourth and fifth. It's one of those rides that's so intense, but you're like, I gotta get back on this. Like, I have to do this again. And it's just a great ride. But I would also say, so like, give me a second here, because I think Cosmic Rewind is one of the best coasters in the world too. So how are you going to make me decide? I was at that with you. I was there at that, you know, press preview launch at Cosmic Rewind. I will say I did Cosmic Rewind 3 times in a row and I needed a break. That was intense.
I don't remember my exact number. It was either 17 or 21 times.
I remember. I was like, I'm going to go get a snack. And you're like, I'm going again.
Did I come home with a concussion? We'll never know. But it was worth it.
I would say, like, comparing the two, Cosmic Rewind has that storytelling, has that complete narrative. You feel like you're in on the journey. You feel like you're a part of that whole experience. Whereas Voltron is just a great thrill ride. It's just a great coaster. So, I mean, I say Christopher Nolan in the sense that it feels cinematic. It feels like you're like living through this kind of backwards reality and you don't know what set is up. But I just think, you know, Cosmic Rewind has that real like concept of you're on this journey. So there's such
like a
different
tie.
Experiences.
It feels like these two could be a tie. They both sound great.
Yeah, total tie.
A rare tie. Now, how do you feel about pirates versus pirates?
Okay, so I am a Disneyland pirates enthusiast personally. I would say Pirates of Batavia is good, is cute, is sweet. It's fun to just kind of go and see their version of Captain Jack Sparrow and, you know, kind of see what they're doing.
Oh, like they really duped it.
Yeah. I mean, like they're not messing around. Or maybe they are messing around.
Is it like Timu version of American Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, but it's better than Timu. I would almost say it's like, it's the Etsy version. You know, it's like,
okay.
It's not Timu. It's not cheap. That's the thing. Oh, that's such an interesting point. It's not, nothing about this park is Timu. Nothing feels cheap. It all just feels like it's honoring and celebrating. So like it's not, and Etsy is a great way to explain it. It's like a craft artisan who loves Disney World created their own park inspired by Disney World, and like look at their Lego version of Pirates of Caribbean, you know, like that kind of thing, you know.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna give Pirates to America. I think that feels
please great. Please do, as it should. Yeah.
And then when I was doing my research, some of the other things that came up were that they had a flying ride, kind of like Soarin', called Volatarium. They also had a mine train called Alpine Express. Do you think that those are good comparisons to any similar Disney World rides, or do they kind of live in a category of their own?
I mean, I think the flying ride is kind of a one-to-one for Soarin'. I mean, it's just so much that we have not been on the flying ride, and I'll tell you why, because there's so much to do. And every time we go for 2 days and we still can't get it in. I mean, there's of the 100 rides and attractions, I would say I've probably been on like 70 of them, but
oh
there's still a good
God.
Amount of them that we just like can't get to or have yet to get to, I would say. So I did watch it on YouTube, but what's interesting about it is I would say Soarin' forever.
Yeah.
But like there are rides that have, and then in terms of like you mentioned like the Alpine Express, like there are, and I guess I would compare that to like the Mine Train Seven Dwarves, but Seven Dwarves creates that world of Snow White, and like you go through them, you know, the gem mine, and then you go through those kind of really fun dives and turns. Alpine Express is a little bit more of just a great mine train coaster, it interacts with the log flume in an interesting way, but it doesn't have as much of a narrative. And you go around twice. So it's like kind
that.
Of like a family launch. You know what's interesting? I actually don't love it. And I'll tell you why. Because if you have to rely on the same track, the same loop circuit to go twice to make it a full ride, it's like, to me, it's kind of like, give me more track.
Okay, fair. Yeah, because it's not like you have space.
Yeah, not to, you know, it's still a great ride. I didn't mean to knock that down. It's more just like you could have made this longer. You didn't have to rely on the.
I'm looking at you, Flight of the Hippogriff.
Yeah.
That's a ride that could benefit from going twice.
Right? Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Takes longer to load than to go on the ride. Very strange.
Yeah.
So, Zach, I'm looking at this and it looks like we're pretty much tied up. So I think maybe for the final category. Talk to me about iconic snacks, because food is such a big part of Disney World. We have such iconic snacks, iconic treats, things that they're known for. If you don't even go to Disney, you know about Dole Whip. What is the snack situation there? Is there anything that's famous or hyped, or is it just there's ice cream?
There's ice cream. I mean, there's pretzels.
Pretzels, of course.
There are giant German pretzels. There's Pufferchess, which are like Dutch mini pancakes. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like those are like fluffy, spongy, like they come with toppings, and those are pretty popular. And then there's also Flammkuchen, which is like a pizza. It's a flatbread kind of experience, but there's not like, oh, and you know what's so funny? They have something called the No Drama Llama, which my husband, Jesse, and I, it very famously in 2019, when we visited this park, we had the No Drama Llama, and it was the one like kind of moment of drama between us that day, where it was hot and it was melting, and I very much was like, Jesse, can I have a bite? And he's like, it's melting. And I was like, okay. And he was like, just, you know, just be careful. And I think I got it on him, and that was like the most drama moment. And so the No Drama Llama ice cream bar became like the drama llama. But although I didn't see the No Drama Llama the last time I was there last year, I've only been twice. I was there in 2019 and then I went last summer. So I would say the snacks in general, there's not as much of a snack culture as there is in Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World is like gotten so good with their, I don't even want to call them viral, but like with their like Instagram friendly bites. And I don't think Europa Park is there. The food is just good across the board.
Wow. Okay. I mean, It's pretty close, but I think this, I mean, it, depending on how you feel about these things, you might go either way, but I feel like because this seems like a great park, but I got to give Disney World a little bit of the edge. However, you have convinced me to go to Europa Park.
Okay. So after,
how do you feel at the end of this?
Yeah. I mean, Disney World. Like, you know, like I don't go to bed at night, like dreaming of, well, I don't go to bed dreaming of Disney World either, but like, I think I would just
speak
say
for
like
yourself, my friend.
I guess I would say like, I don't go to bed. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't go to bed at night. Like, let me start over. I think Disney World is operating at its own level of like cohesive, immersive storytelling and like an amazing destination vacation for a family. I think Europa Park is the future of thrill rides, the future of innovations in the theme park world in ways that Disney could well bring into a future attraction. And there are so many like unique elements to the rides. And so when you talk about like, I don't know necessarily the history of the manufacturing of Slinky Dog Dash, but like that's one of the best rides at DHS. And like people love that ride and that's a mock ride. So I'm sure they're in conversation, you know, continuously with this company. And because the company showroom is Europa Park, it's fun to go and see the rides yourself. It's kind of like a large IAPA showcase floor, but like you get the full theme park experience.
Wow. Thank you so much for talking about Europa Park, because I did not realize, and I've like written a little about it. I've seen so many videos. I didn't realize that the quality level was that high. I didn't realize that the country pavilions were such a big deal. I didn't realize that they had such great food, but you didn't have to stress about it. It really sounds like an actual theme park vacation, which we don't often get, and makes me want to travel specifically for.
It is very much the kind of put down your phone and enjoy, like, you know, the app. The app is, you know, serviceable, but like there's not really like a lightning lane experience. There's a couple of virtual queue rides. Like I think like a handful of the rides have virtual queues that are include free, but like it's just so relaxed and like just go.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to join your group trip in 2028. Yeah. Thank you so much for teaching us how great Europa Park is. I want to go.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This was a real pleasure.
Essentially theme park Halloween season, consider what I'm doing here a Becky Menken costume, because I'm going to reiterate everything our goddess from MEI Mouseman Travel relayed on the podcast that you couldn't hear because I'm not very good at editing. Starting with some deals at Royal Caribbean. Now, you'll have to book this by September 14th, but you can get a kids sail free deal basically from now through August 2027. So if you want to plan a cruise now through the end of next summer, you gotta be taking advantage of this. Or if you are thinking of going on vacation with friends, or, you know, maybe you have a best friend and they have a best friend and that best friend really wants to go to Las Vegas for a bachelorette party and you're like, please, Lord, never let me see the inside of a nightclub again, steer them towards Royal Caribbean, because there's also an offer where you can get a third and a fourth guest free. You'll save money. Frankly, have a lot better of a time. I would rather go on like 10 back-to-back cruises and never have my feet touch the ground than to see the inside of a nightclub, period. The end. Disney Cruise Line also has a ton of offers right now. They have a save up to $500 per person on select sailings October 1st through December 31st. I believe that is the Treasure, the Fantasy, and the Disney Wonder. But I gotta tell ya, you know, I'd be emailing Blair at Mouse Fan Travel. Not just shout out Blair, but shout out Blair, most patient man in America. There are a lot of discounts available on Disney Cruise Line right now. Also, their website is so difficult to navigate. I highly recommend reaching out. Go to mousefantravel.com/amusing, get linked up with an agent, be like, I'm kind of into this vibe, these dates, I'm flexible, what do you think? They will get you all the info. And if you want to book it all, you want to kind of like parse it through yourself, you have that little Disney brain like I do, where I like to like look at prices, you can do that on Mouse Fan Travel's website as well. So you can kind of like get the best of both worlds a little bit. Over at Aulani, we've got up to 30% off, including partial ocean view rooms and ocean view, which is pretty tight. 30% off stays 5 nights or more. And like, you're going to Hawaii, you're probably going to stay for a bit. It's a long flight and you should. You can save up to 25% for 4 nights or more. And this is valid from October 19th to December 23rd. So like Get your little like pre-Christmas holiday fall bonanza out in Aulani. That sounds so much fun. And if you are a Disney Visa cardholder, which I am, you can save up to 35%. I think that is everything. Oh my gosh. I can't handle Becky's job. This is hard. I literally talking to a microphone for a living and like having to say 7 numbers out loud just broke my brain. So leave your travel planning up to the experts. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. Tell them I sent ya. Have an easy breezy time planning a trip. Remember, they're not going to charge you anything. You can just email them and be like, I have the Epcot itch. I'm like kind of interested in going to Disney World. Like, when's the cheapest time for me to go? Like, just reach out and ask them. It never hurts to ask. And they will hopefully plan the perfect trip for you. Mousefantravel.com/amusing. We love them. They plan my trips and they should plan yours too.
Hey, Carly, this is Katie. I'm calling because I am going next month on my first ever Disney Cruise Line sailing. I'm going on the Magic with my mom and my daughter for my 40th birthday, and I'm really excited for the trip. But I have a question that I feel I would really only trust you to answer, and it's about Pirate Night. So I will be honest, I already looked through a bunch of your Instagram highlights trying to find you dressed on theme for Pirate Night, and all I found was a very old Instagram story where the text said something like, you'll never find me dressed like a pirate. So even knowing that background, I'm just curious, if you were to dress for Pirate Night, how you would approach putting together your outfit. I want to feel like I'm on theme, part of the night, in it with the group, but there's no way I'm like buying and wearing a pirate costume. And I just really love your style. I think you have great taste. I loved how you dressed for the Hoop-Dee-Doo review, for Amusapalooza, like on theme, but still true to yourself. So any ideas you have for me would be greatly appreciated. I have about a month to put my outfit together. So if you're able to make any suggestions, I'd appreciate it. All right. Thanks so much. Love the podcast. Love your Instagram. Thanks for all you do. Bye.
Hi. Okay. So to be so for real with you, there are so many D23 related calls that I got that I should have played on this episode. I should have played them on this episode, but I feel this call so deeply that I had to bump this to the top of the list. Also because what a read. What a read to go and try to see if I can provide any sort of sartorial advice about what to wear on Pirate Night. And to just find me being like, I'm not going to do it is so funny. So I am compelled to help you with this problem. I also wanted to do this call because I have, listen, not to admit everything, I have multiple Disney cruises on the horizon, and that's all I'm going to say for right now. And I got to a point where I was like, okay, maybe I should invest in something I can wear on this night that I would feel good in. So I am actually in the same boat you are in. Well, I guess cruise ship. So my problem is that I find the entire theme of pirates to be deeply unappealing. And if there's a way to dress up for something where I can still feel like myself and I can feel comfortable and like wear things that make me happy, I absolutely will do it. And dressing up for Pirate Night makes a lot of people happy. So I'm not trying to, as they say, yuck anyone's yum. If you like dressing up for Pirate Night, I wish I could feel that way. I just am not excited about tattered clothing, like big puffy shirt, stripes. I'm really not excited about the color palette, the eye patch. Like, I'm already wearing glasses to workout classes. Like, I can't see well enough to make a hearty har har joke about an eye patch. So for me, like, the pirate vibe is not one that I'm desperate to pack into my suitcase when I have limited space. But because I am in the same situation as you are, I want to give you some suggestions. I think there is a lot that you can do with a basic white dress. I think a basic white dress, some sort of, if you use a Pirate Night bandana, if you add some sort of like striped fabric, bandana or kerchief and tie that around. If you could not to wear, I don't want to tell you to wear an eye patch, but like if you add like a big gold earring, a white kind of poofier base dress, you can get away with getting a pirate vibe. You can also do what a lot of the people are doing right now, which is like tying scarves around their waist to the side. Why? I don't know. But a lot of people are doing it and most of them are pulling it off. If I did it, I would look confused. I would look like I had taken clothing that my child was wearing and tied it around my waist to be able to carry it. It's just not for me. But I do think there is a world where you could wear some sort of like white outfit and tie a stripe around. And there's something about the white that feels like a pirate shirt that I think just resonates. I actually was going to consider getting a custom outfit made from Franklin J, who makes some of my clothes. Basically, if I'm getting something made, like I'm going to own it for the rest of my life. I do have a Muppets Treasure Island dress that I have worn. So I do, if that is a route you want to do, you can go get like a bedsheet garment made with some sort of like Treasure Island or like Mickey pirate fabric. That is definitely something. You're a month away, so this would be for a future cruise, not for this one. Like this is, it's your first ever cruise, but I'm telling you, if you're going on Disney Cruise Line, you're probably going to love it. So just keep that in mind for the future. But if I was down to the wire, what I would do if I was you is I would genuinely look around, go to ASOS, go to Zara, go to things like that. Try to find a striped matchy outfit. It's like a striped shirt and a striped pant in a red or black or purple or green palette and use that as your base and add a couple accessories. Add like a big gold earring. Add like something that match. I feel like if you do 2 to 3 pirate accessories, almost any outfit can be pirate. And I think that's the best way to do it because then you have actual clothes that you're investing in that you could wear in the future. And now that I say that, I realize I have a striped outfit that I got rid of when I cleaned out my closet. Oops. I take my advice, but not the way I live my life to heart. I hope this is helpful. Again, white base dress, like even like an eyelet dress, something that like that, you pair it with a kerchief tied over your head. You have an accessory that reads as pirate. Add a boot, you're pirate. Stripey set, pirate. I think that's your best way to go without going full costume because like, I'm sorry, I am tall and like you won't catch me in a tattered pant. I can't pull that off. I'm just going to look like I woke up and grew 4 inches and I'm very gangly and awkward. It's just not happening for me. So those are the two directives I would give you that I think are best. Again, 2 to 3 accessories with those base outfits will definitely cover pirate night while still making you feel like yourself. I hope this is helpful. Have so much fun on your first Disney cruise. You said you and your mom are going. Your mom and your daughter. That's for your 40th birthday. I'm sorry that I fully blanked out. I was like thinking about gold earrings way too hard. Have so much fun. I hope you have the best time. And I hope that you are kind of bitten by the Disney Cruise Line bug because it's the best. It's the best. And I can't wait to tell you more about my trips. Have fun. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you to my friend Zach Lax, for coming on the podcast. I'm going to have all his links in the show notes so you can check out his incredible travel stories. Follow him at Zach Lax. Truly, you should. He is a joyful ray of light and he is a coaster expert and he knows so much about international theme parks. And if you are trying to go to some of these places, definitely reach out to him because he knows what's what. Check out his stories. He's the best. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS. I've gotten so many calls lately. Keep them coming. I think we're almost at enough for a CHURROS hotline, but as I say that, I'm now looking at the podcast schedule and we got no room. The next gap on our podcast schedule, guys, this is how like locked in we are. Oh, we don't have a gap. Oh, we literally don't have a gap until December, and December is Trucksember. We literally don't have... keep the calls coming and I'll just keep answering them. But like, we literally don't have, I am locked and loaded. We have so many fun interviews ahead. Oh my Lord. Stay tuned. I mean, we're at the end of the episode. So like, stay tuned next week or whatever. But anyway, keep the calls coming. I love to get them. And a lot of times if you send me something that's pressing or timely and I can't call back, I will try to text you so that you can get a response so that you're not stressed. That's what I try to do. And also, thank you to everyone who stopped me at D23 and said that they called and they did a churros call and I was helpful. I really appreciate it because sometimes I send my advice and I'm like, it's like blowing dust into the wind. Or if you've been, glitter at Cake Bake Shop. There's like a moment that we did really like blue glitter everywhere. That place is wild. Cleaning up that place must be impossible. I wonder if there's like a health code violation that there's so much glitter, but it is edible, so it doesn't count. Anyway, off on a tangent. What was I even saying? Oh, right, churros calls. Sometimes it just feels like I send advice out into the ether and it's hard to know if it actually resonates. And so to hear it does is so wonderful. And thank you to everyone who said hi at D23. It was so great to see you. That is the best part of the event, besides the Walt Disney Imagineering Pavilion, because that was dope. It was so dope. If you're booking a trip, Duh! Use MEI Mouse Fan Travel. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing is their main destination for Disney Cruise Line, Disney Parks, Universal Parks. Universal should have a cruise line. I want to sail the high seas with the Grinch and a bunch of minions. Can you imagine like going to the buffet for breakfast and seeing some minions toddle along? I want that! Universal, get on that! What are you doing? Partner with like Royal Caribbean or something. Just make it happen, okay? But if you want to, obviously, if you want to plan a Royal Caribbean cruise too, wow, a brilliant segue that I didn't even plan on. Reach out to Becky and her team. I almost said Becky and her minions, but that sounds like very Gru-based. And I just was trying to make a minions reference. Anyway, reach out to Becky's team and mousefantravel.com/amusing. They will take care of you like they take care of me because I book all my trips with them and it is flawless and incredible. Follow me at Carly Wiesel around the internet. Join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. I can't shut up. I can't stop posting on Instagram. I got locked out of my house over the weekend and I TLDR, yada, yada, yada. I found an old phone and I found my way back on Instagram. I couldn't text. I had to FaceTime audio call my husband who was out of town, but I sure as heck got on Instagram immediately. I'm on there a lot, and if you subscribe, you get 99 cents worth, I promise. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. Fun episode this week. The Mouse Celeb sisters are great. So fun to listen to the three of you brainstorm. I loved it. But I learned a lot today. I learned about the Villains Island. Sounds great. Sounds like so much fun. But there are a lot of changes. All sound good. I do not like change. I like things to stay the same all the time. What scares me is changing Spaceship Earth. I love Spaceship Earth. I'm sure it'll be for the best and it'll be a big improvement, but I love Spaceship Earth. I sure hope the airport luggage transfer goes through because that would make our lives so much easier. So great. Imagine with all the stuff we travel with, to have that at our luxury to arrive in the hotel. I love that. Anyway, wonderful week. I love you so much. Sorry about my voice. I love you, Pearly. And of course, I love you, John Stamos. Bye-bye.